Hello and welcome to Audio Reader's Sports Show. My name's Jane Woods. Today we'll start our program with Sports Illustrated's April edition, April 2023. On the cover of our magazine, we have Julio Rodriguez. Welcome to the show. Julio Rodriguez is the perfect star for MLB's new and exciting era. Plus, an NFL expert shares his prediction for next season, how Alyssa Thompson is carving a new path for girls in soccer, and more. April has a lot of stories for us. Baseball is fast and fun again with Julio Rodriguez, the perfect star for a new game. Inside our April edition, Sports Illustrated, we have Baseball Preview with Julio Rodriguez. Welcome to the MLB's new era, a slew of rule changes and a game that's quicker, more athletic, and way more entertaining. And no player is faster or more fun than Julio Rodriguez, the perfect star for these times. Welcome to the J-Rod Show. This issue is courtesy of Tom Verducci. There's two photographs. They look like almost like baseball cards showing Julio Rodriguez. One, he's winding up to hit the ball, and the other, he is squatted down, looking like he's clapping in an athletic pose. The photographs are courtesy of Daniel Shirley, MLB Photos, / Getty Images, and Steph Chambers, Getty Images. Here's a list of the checks. Check. First ever 25-25 debut season. Check. Added speed to play center field. More on the checklist? How about cold turkey quit video games? Olympic bronze medalist. He's the fastest sprint speed among center fielders. Taught himself English as a boy. And hit sign, won a beer. 81 bombs in the home run derby. He gave up favorite fast food. Check. At 21, youngest first year AL All-Star outfielder since Joe DiMaggio. Check. Makes book recommendations. And check. Everyone knows him as the J-Rod Show. Well, that's the fast version of the Julio Rodriguez story. It's apropos to the Mariners center fielder and the way baseball will be played this year. Julio is fast. Fast runner, fast talker, fast learner, fast tracked. Fast like baseball in 2023. In the time it took you to read the fast version of Rodriguez's story, two pitches could be thrown in a major league game. Not one. That way it was for years. Sacrilege became necessity. Major League Baseball, for the first time, will be played with a clock. 15 seconds to deliver a pitch with the bases empty, and 20 seconds with runners on. Other new rules include a ban on defensive shifts, a ban on positioning infielders on the outfield grass, bigger bases, and a limit of two unsuccessful pickoff throws during a plate appearance. Cha-cha changes. It's the most seismic one-year suite of changes ever made to how baseball is played. The goal of the rule changes is not just to increase the pace of action, but also to return the game to the players after years in which playing style was dictated by front offices, following analytics as their North Star. The result of data-driven baseball was an aesthetic disaster and a commercial flop. Nobody better represents the ideal version of this new era of baseball than the J-Rod Show. Faster, more athletic, more daring, more unencumbered, more fun. His perpetual smile is a happy contagion. His joy is a burst of neon light, more than sprint speed or exit velocity. The gift of this 22-year-old is je ne sais quoi. That makes him simultaneously swaggy and endearing. If you don't know the kid and you see the necklace, the J-Rod show, and the YouTubes, it wouldn't be convincing how genuine he is, says Mariners assistant general manager, Andy McKay, who's known Rodriguez since he signed at the age of 16. If you're around J-Rod, you see it, and you believe it. Next up in our article, we have red bold print, all caps. Rodriguez says the new rules will put on display, bold, everything you can do to help a team win, ... You push people even more to be complete players. And that's all in a quote from Rodriguez. Now back to regular text. I'm just a guy who came from Loma de Cabrera, a town in the Dominican Republic with 20,000 people. And one day, I can be hitting in front of 50,000 people in Dodger Stadium with the whole United States watching, Rodriguez says. I want to inspire those after me. You can get there if you work hard, if you dedicate yourself. You're able to live out your dreams. This is a beautiful game when you play it the right way. I feel like there are a lot of people that, take the game too serious. And I feel like they forget about the joy of this. In March 2020, Rodriguez, then 19, and a non-roster invitee walked past the spring training office of the Mariners manager, Scott Servais. "Hey, Julio, come on in here," Servais called out. It was their first meeting. "I was blown away," says the manager. "How so?" "His grasp of the English language, his confidence, his personality, how sharp he was. Right away, I go, this dude is different." By midway through last season, just a rookie, Rodriguez had become the Mariners' best player and one of their leaders. "His personality is like a magnet," Servais says. "Listen, you can't bullshit players when you're around somebody who acts one way, and then when the camera is off, acts another. That wears off fast. But this is just how he is. He truly loves baseball. He is the right player at the right time." Our photograph shows Julio Rodriguez looks like he's looking at the stands, but it's a close-up with a blurred background. His fist is pumped and his arm is flexed. The caption? Flex appeal. After Rodriguez celebrated 28 bombs as a rookie, his power and speed combo made him a candidate for a 40-40 season. We have Steph Chambers of Getty Images to thank for that photo. Back to our text. Since 2007, the game's attendance apex to last season, baseball has lost 14.9 million ticket buyers in the regular season and 5.3 million World Series viewers. A changing broadcast and entertainment marketplace contributed to the erosion, but so did a brutally efficient but dreadfully slow, risk-averse style of percentage-driven baseball. From 2007 to 2022, the average game grew 12 minutes longer, with 5.5 fewer balls put into play. As technology gave people more options at their fingertips, baseball operated under a backward business strategy. It kept giving people less action over more time. Nobody set out to produce a duller game. It was the byproduct of front offices swelling with whip-smart analysts who dive deeper into the game's rich statistical lithosphere and emerging informational technologies to hack the probabilities. The byproduct of their work? Almost squelched action. Pitching staffs spun the ball more because average spin is harder to hit than extreme velocity. Hitters took full tilt swings because the occasional home run, even at the cost of more strikeouts, carried a better risk-reward ratio than playing for a rally. Highly advanced defensive positioning encouraged this boom-or-bust hitting approach. Shifts worked so well at sucking hits out of the game that their use nearly tripled in just 3 years, from 12% in 2017 to 35% in the year 2020, including more than half the time against a left-handed batter. Runners were discouraged from attempting to steal bases because the risk wasn't worth it when you're waiting for home runs. Action and fan interest eroded in lockstep. From 2007 to last season, the information-based style removed 5,302 hits, 623 stolen base attempts, and 25 batting average points from the game. Strikeouts went up by 8,623. The 2018 season marked the first time in baseball history strikeouts outnumbered hits. It's remained that way ever since. As a speedy right-handed hitter, Rodriguez didn't suffer greatly from shifts. He saw them 8% of the time. But with pitchers now required to work faster, less recovery time between intense effort, more balls expected in play, and an expected higher success rate of stealing bases, his hitting and running skills are exactly what baseball wants to highlight to pull the game out of this 15-year aesthetic decline. Says Rodriguez, "I like it because I feel it's just being able to put on your display of everything you can do to help a team win. I feel like you push people even more to become complete players. I know a lot of people said, oh, don't steal bases because it doesn't really impact the game. It's not good. But 90 feet will always impact a game in a better way. 90 feet can be the difference between a guy hitting with no outs and a man on first with a chance to hit into a double play and hitting with a guy in scoring position. That can be the deciding run in a game." Rodriguez stole 25 bases last season. After a slow start, he also hit 27 homers in his final 99 games, a pace that puts 40 homers within his reach. Only four players have reached 40-40 season, none of them everyday center fielders, and all of them did so between 1988 and 2006. In 1988, Jose Canseco. 1996, Barry Bonds. 1998, Alex Rodriguez, and 2006, Alfonso Soriano. That Julio Rodriguez deserves mention in such company is another fast story. Not even the Mariners expected him to be this kind of player. Our next photograph shows Rodriguez sliding into base while a Houston baseman is reaching down, trying to tag him out. We're not sure if this is a safe or out. The umpire is standing above them, directly looking down onto both outstretched arms. The caption, getting his bag. Rodriguez's speed training during the 2021-22 lockout transformed him into a weapon even the Mariners didn't know they had. The image is courtesy of Rob Carr, Getty Images. The date was March 13, 2022. After a three-month lockout, in which clubs had no contact with their players, the Mariners were back on the field for a workout in Peoria, Arizona. They were running the bases during a routine drill when Cervais turned to one of his coaches, Manny Acta, and said, "Oh my gosh, Manny, did you see that?" "Hell yeah, dude," Acta said. Watching Rodriguez run left them slack-jawed. Until then, the Mariners thought of Rodriguez only as a corner outfielder because of his thick body. Rodriguez is 6'3" and 228 pounds. It was one reason why Rodriguez signed in 2017 for a $1.75 million bonus. A nice sum, but less than eight other international free agents. Corner players are valued less than those who play in the middle of the field. It also partly explains why, as recently as 2020, Rodriguez was ranked below Kristen Pasch, Joey Bart, and Dylan Carlson on prospect lists. What the Mariners couldn't know during the lockout was that Rodriguez had been working in Tampa with a speed coach, Yo Murphy, a former NFL wide receiver. They worked on more efficient form, including a longer stride. When the lockout ended, Rodriguez told team officials he planned to earn the center field job. "Whenever I would bring it up, I would go, 'Ah, nah, we're going to try to save your bat and put you in the corner.'" Rodriguez says, "I felt not mad, but I was like, 'Man, you're not seeing the whole picture, because I feel like I'm restricting myself into the corner when I can play in the middle.'" Now people are realizing we were actually wrong about this guy. Rodriguez had an average sprint speed of 29.8 feet per second last season, best among all center fielders with at least 100 timed runs. He became the first player in his debut season to hit 25 homers and steal 25 bases. He and Mike Trout, 2016, are the only center fielders ever to steal 25 bases while weighing at least 228 pounds. "I've done this my entire adult life, and gaining speed is not normal," McKay says. "The buzz that spring was amazing. I've never seen a speed gain like that, and probably never will again." Another Rodriguez quote is emphasized in the middle of our story in bold red print. "This is a beautiful game when you play it the right way," Rodriguez says. "I feel like there are a lot of people that forget about the joy of this." Such stories of desire and rapid growth abound with Rodriguez. Around age 7, on his own, he began listening to English learning tapes his mother, a dentist, had around the house. The first time McKay, then director of player development, met Rodriguez was during the Dominican Summer League in 2018. Rodriguez introduced himself by sticking out his hand and asking, "Can I play in the Arizona Fall League this year?" The AFL is designed for advanced prospects knocking on the door of the big leagues. Rodriguez was 17 and playing his first year of pro ball. "Sorry, you're not likely to play there this fall or even next fall," McKay told him. "Well, let's talk about it," Rodriguez said. Says McKay, he wouldn't let it go. He was very firm in what he wanted. Rodriguez did play in the AFL the next year. His bat was special from the beginning. In 2018, the Mariners began introducing more technology to measure hitting performances. Jarrett DeHart, then working as a hitting strategist for the team and now its hitting coach, applied a sensor to Rodriguez's bat. The average major league bat speed is between 70 and 72 miles per hour. The first time DeHart measured Rodriguez, he thought the device was broken. So, he measured Rodriguez's bat speed again, and again, and again. It kept coming back absurdly high, 80 miles per hour. There was nothing wrong with the sensor. As a 17-year-old, he was posting bat speeds that were well above major league average, DeHart says. We realized we were dealing with someone very special. Bat speed alone did not satisfy Rodriguez. In 2020, he began talking to his personal hitting coach, Osvaldo Diaz, about a major swing change. Diaz, age 40, a former minor leaguer from Cuba, who has tutored three of the past four AL Rookies of the Year, Rodriguez, Randy Arozarena, and Yordan Alvarez, did not want to incorporate the changes during a season in which Rodriguez starred for the Dominican Olympic team. They dived into the changes that offseason. In days gone by, hitters such as Ted Williams talked about pulling the bottom hand through a pitch to generate power, because there was a lot of whip action to the bat, Diaz says. But people also rolled over a lot. And you guys, you didn't want to throw a 102 with sinking action then. So today, we have to adjust. Diaz emphasizes the top hand to control the barrel. He doesn't believe in getting the barrel on the plane of the pitch early. Instead, he prefers a short, quick, downward path driven by the top hand. From the point of contact, the top hand extends toward the center field wall, and then upward with the palm remaining up. The top wrist never rolls over the way it did in the classic Williams swing. That's where you get the backspin and carry, Diaz says. Rodriguez hits with Diaz in the offseason twice a day, 5 or 6 times per week after his morning training sessions in the gym. He employs a strength trainer, a speed trainer, a hitting coach, and a chef. Every session begins with a top hand drill. Rodriguez holds his bat close to his right chest with his right hand about 15 inches from the knob. Before the changes, Rodriguez hit with his hands high over his right shoulder. Diaz places a ball on a tee close to Rodriguez's body. It looks like someone about to hit inside a phone booth. Diaz prefers another analogy. The first move is like hitting with a straitjacket, he says. Your hands are close to your body. You're really connected. The first thing is to feel tight. Then we turn, top hand down. And after we feel connection, we lift it with the head of the bat. You have to be tight to be loose. Easy to remember, not easy to do. Watching Rodriguez take batting practice at Tampa Catholic High School in February was stunning. Almost without exception, the balls he hit traced a beautiful parabola across the blue sky. Never too high, and never, ever on the ground. Rodriguez finished each swing with the barrel of the bat extended over his head and his palm up. It was the same swing he used to loft 81 home runs in last summer's All-Star Home Run Derby. Only Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in 2019 has ever hit more. A month after the Derby, Seattle signed Rodriguez to a contract that guarantees him $209.3 million over 12 years, including options and incentives. It could be worth $469.3 million over 17 years. "We haven't seen him do nothing yet," Diaz says. "I see MVP. I see him winning a World Series. And I see him being a player for at least 7 to 10 years at the highest level because of his work ethic. Even with the contract and all the attention that he gets, this kid's not going to change." And there are three photographs of Rodriguez in the article. All three of them, he's wearing his Mariner uniform and his Mariner's baseball hat. He's got the first one, hands on his hat, and a great big grin looking square at the camera. Number two, he's got his head towards the sky with a bat on his shoulder and a great big grin. And on the third picture, he's looking square at the camera. This time the bat is swung over his shoulder and he's showing you a peace sign with a great big grin. All photos are courtesy of Jeffrey A. Salter. In spring training last March, Cervais noticed that Rodriguez's enthusiasm was working against him. He was pulling off the ball in his zest to make the team, leaving him vulnerable to off-speed pitches. "Julio, come here," Cervais said in the dugout at Peoria Sports Complex. He pointed to a sign on the wall in right center field. It was an ad for Leinenkugels that read, "Swing for a summer shandy." "Do you know what that is?" Cervais asked. "No. What is it?" asked Rodriguez, who had turned the legal drinking age in the U.S. 3 months earlier. "It's a beer from Wisconsin. Like me. You're old enough now. Why don't you see if you can hit that sign?" The next time the Mariners played there, Cleveland closer Emmanuel Clase threw Rodriguez a 2-2 curveball. Rodriguez waited and smashed it on a line toward right center. The ball bounced off an ad for the city of Peoria, missing the adjacent Leinenkugel's target by about 10 feet. Rodriguez slid helmetless and head first over the plate for an inside the park home run, punctuating his spring training romp with shouts, fist pumps, and smiles, as if it were October. Later in the inning, he sat next to Cervais by the dugout rail and asked, "Did I do okay?" Says Cervais, "During the season, whenever it looked like he was in one of those funks, I'd just say to him, 'Leinenkugels, Julio.' And he'd just nod, and I go, and he said, 'I got it.'" He's so smart. You tell him something once, and he remembers it. Ulysses Cabrera has known Rodriguez since Rodriguez turned up at a Dominican Prospects League tryout at the age of 13. And was easily the best player among the 200 or so kids there. Cabrera approached his father, Julio Rodriguez Sr., who works for Save the Children, and said, "Your son is special. Just know, your life and his life are about to change over the next few years." The Rodriguez family chose Cabrera as Julio's agent. The most amazing quality he has is his ability to process data, Cabrera says. "I'm not talking about numbers or analytics. I'm talking about all the information and influences around him and figuring out how to use them to make adjustments and get better. Here's one story. Have you heard of the book Atomic Habits?" Julio not only read the book, but he also gave me a copy and said, "Here, read this. I went to Vanderbilt. I have a master's in finance. And here's this teenage kid. giving me a book to read? It was so good, I bought 12 more to give to clients. Here's another story. 3 years ago, when he was 19 years old, Rodriguez decided to quit his PlayStation habit. "When I went to spring training, I left it behind," he says. "I was like, nah, I can't have this. I didn't want to be sitting around for 2 hours, maybe losing some sleep. It was just a lot of negative. It was a lot of fun playing with my friends, but I was like, what are you really trying to do? Are you trying to be a professional gamer or a major leaguer?" Rodriguez's recent epiphany was to reduce his trips to Chick-fil-A. He left for spring training riding a 2-month abstinence. "I still feel like it. Don't get me wrong," he says. Another story from September 11th last year. As the Mariners fought to get into the playoffs for the first time in 21 years, Seattle trailed Atlanta 7-6 in the bottom of the ninth. Rodriguez was the second batter due to hit against closer Kenley Jansen. "I was in the on-deck circle, trying to find a feel with my hands," Rodriguez says, "because I don't really like thinking at the plate. But there's a certain feel before I hit. I know things are going to pan out in a good way when I feel it." "I'd been rushing that night, and I got in the on-deck circle, and I was like, okay, now I feel it." The Mariners recently put their players through a bat-fitting process, similar to getting fitted for golf clubs. Players' swings are analyzed through motion capture cameras to assess which size and shape bat might best work for them. Rodriguez had no use for the results. He will study game tape of pitchers, but has little need for modern analytics. "I play the game more by feel," he says. "I like to analyze what I see. I feel like how I play comes from my eyes. I'm never afraid to think outside the box, a little bit, and I try to figure something out." Rodriguez looked at two pitches from Jansen, a strike and a ball. The next pitch was a slider. Rodriguez pulverized it for a line drive home run to left field at 117.2 miles per hour. It was his hardest hit ball all year. The game was tied. The Mariners won two batters later on a home run by Eugenio Suarez. "Hitting a ball like that," Rodriguez says, "it feels pretty good. I mean, I didn't feel it very much on my hands. It's the best feeling. Pure contact." Our next caption photo shows Rodriguez in the middle of a dugout. His right hand is high in the air in a number one position. He's wearing a bit of a goofy hat, still in his uniform, his helmet in his other hand. The caption, "Reason to celebrate." His historic contract ensures that the J-Rod Show will play in Seattle. And the Mariners hope in October for at least 7 more years. This photo is courtesy of Steph Chambers, Getty Images. Now what? Carlos Santana is talking to Rodriguez behind the batting cage at Tampa Catholic. Santana, 36, a 13-year veteran, now with Pittsburgh, played with Rodriguez last year in Seattle and is one of his closest friends. "This year is going to be different for you," Santana tells him. "Everybody knows you now. The contract, the expectations. It'll be different. You have to understand, it's you who must be the same. You have to work just as hard to be successful in this game is to be consistent." DeHart, the Mariners hitting coach, says Rodriguez turned a corner in the second half last season when his slugging percentage increased from .477 2:5-76. He learned some things about his swing path, which allowed him to be in the air more consistently, says DeHart. The more he consistently flushes balls in the air, the better he will be. Fast. It is happening so fast. Rodriguez played 217 minor league games, just 46 of them higher than Class A, before posting the highest wins above replacement by any center fielder in his major league debut season, 6.2. After only 108 big league games, he signed what would be the richest contract in baseball history at its full value. The Mariners are counting on him to lead them to the franchise's first World Series. Baseball is counting on him to help revive the game as faster, more free-flowing, more athletic. Is it happening too fast? Not even the Mariners knew what they had in Rodriguez at this time a year ago. Now he's at the forefront of a new era in baseball. The answer to what's next lies within. Not all that swirls without. It had been a long day, beginning with an 8:30 a.m. training session in the gym, followed by a two-hour workout on the field at Tampa Catholic, followed by lunch, followed by a 15-minute interview, followed by a 40-minute photo shoot. He still had another interview and a second hitting session in front of him when the photo shoot finally wrapped up. Freed from the task of smiling and posing in uniform under the afternoon sun on an empty field, Rodriguez did not immediately bolt from the scene or huddle with his two reps who stood nearby. Instead, he went up to each of the six people working on the shoot, shook each one's hands, and thanked each of them. It was a simple gesture, but it stood as powerful evidence that if this is the face of a new era of baseball, the joy is back. And that's our baseball preview in our April Sports Illustrated edition by Tom Verducci. Wrapping up our story, there are two more baseball stars that are spotlighted. Our first All-Star, Jazz Chisholm Jr., center stage. Jazz Chisholm Jr. is another young All-Star on a crusade to make baseball fun again. But his game is full of substance as well as style. A photograph shows Jazz wearing fun socks and swinging his baseball bat. He's wearing a Miami uniform. The photo's courtesy of Eric Hartline, USA Today Sports. Early in the film Babylon, Margot Robbie's character, Nellie LeRoy, says, "You don't become a star. You either are one or you ain't. I am." Those words would be just as fitting if they were written for Jazz Chisholm Jr., the young Euro-stepping star of the Marlins. Along with new rules and faster play, baseball needs more star power to grab attention in the social media age. Entering his fourth season, Chisholm, 25, is committed to changing the game's reputation for being boring. "I want people to treat baseball the way they treat basketball or football," he says, "because I was always in love with baseball." That love story began in the Bahamas. Chisholm grew up in Nassau and spent weekends with his maternal grandmother, Patricia Coakley, who played shortstop for the Bahamian national softball team in the 1980s. She's the one who taught him to be himself on the field. That involves celebrating and laughing, sticking his tongue out when he steals bases, bat flipping when hitting home runs, and of course, punctuating those dingers with his signature Euro step as he jogs toward home plate. "It's like when you watch Jay Morant now in the NBA, Chisholm says. "That's who you want to watch. And he's making it fun for everybody. That's who I want to be." It takes more than charisma. Chisholm was named an All-Star for the first time last year before a stress fracture in his lower back forced him to miss the final 3 months of the season. Through 60 games, he batted .254 with 14 home runs, 12 stolen bases, and a .535 slugging percentage. This season, he faces a new challenge, changing positions. He spent his first 3 seasons as Miami's starting second baseman. But after trading with the Twins for American League batting champion Luis Arraez this offseason, Marlins general manager Kim Ng announced that Chisholm would be their center fielder, despite never playing the outfield in a competitive game. Chisholm had volunteered to move to center before the trade was made. "I've done everything else I said I was going to do," he says. "Why not do this too? I told everybody I was going to be a big leaguer. I'm there. An all-star. I'm there. A Hall of Famer one day. So why not go out there and just play center field?" Chisholm has the tools. He combines power and speed like few in the game today. He's athletic, with a strong arm and a natural baseball instinct. He has that specific, unquantifiable quality that either you are or you ain't. And this is his time to shine. And we have Matt Martell to thank you for that story. Center stage, Chaz Chisholm Jr. Next, viral sensation. Can O'Neill Cruz get the Pirates to the postseason? Probably not this year, but the highlight-minting shortstop will break StatCast trying. And a picture shows O'Neill Cruz throwing the ball as he's looking at the camera, in this case, in his Pirates uniform. The photos courtesy of Joe Sargent, Getty Images. The game should see a return to athleticism and action this season. But one player didn't need a raft of rule changes to showcase a brand of baseball fans have never seen before. At 6'7", the Pirates' O'Neill Cruz is the tallest shortstop ever. He's a switch hitter who hits the ball as hard as Giancarlo Stanton, runs as fast as Trey Turner, and throws faster than, well, any infielder ever recorded. In barely half a season after being called up last June 20th, the rookie turned himself into a social media star by regularly breaking StatCast. On July 14th, Cruz threw a 97.8 mile per hour missile to first base to nail the Marlins' Luke Williams, the fastest infielder assist of the StatCast era. 6 weeks later, against the Braves, he drilled a single off the right field wall with an exit velocity of 122.4 miles per hour, the hardest hit ball StatCast has ever measured. I don't follow social media that much, but my work speaks for itself, the 24-year-old Dominican says through an interpreter. I'm happy to share my talent with the world. At first, Cruz struggled to adapt to big league pitching, hitting just .206, .257, .421, with a 37.8% strikeout rate through his first 58 games. But he found his stride in September with a .288, .359, .525 line over his final 131 plate appearances, while dropping his strikeout rate to a more manageable 29.8%. He finished with 17 home runs, surprising the pirates with his power, and added 10 stolen bases. That combo of power and speed makes Cruz a perfect fit for baseball's new era, and has him eyeing some lofty personal goals. 40-40, he says with a laugh when asked what he envisions for himself this year. And his knack for highlight moments is one reason the rebuilding Pirates, coming off two straight 100-loss seasons, are worth a look every night. Winning is the most fun thing, the most important, Cruz says. I don't care if I go 0-4. The most important thing is winning games. And we have Nick Selby to thank for that story, viral sensation O'Neill Cruz. Next up in our April edition of Sports Illustrated, more baseball preview 2023, Cha-Cha changes. Baseball is timeless. Its rules sacrosanct. For decades, owners could take that to the bank. Now, it's a new era, and it very much is timed. With new rules galore, here's why 2023 will be unlike any season before, and who will benefit. There are illustrations courtesy of Madison Ketchum. Our first photograph is courtesy of John McDonough. It shows Shohei Ohtani, Thriver, Shift Ban, tired of watching hitters mash balls, only for them to turn into loud outs? Well, this season is for you and Shohei Ohtani. From defending Cy Williams to Ted Williams to Barry Bonds, the shift lasted 100 years. But the scale of the shift was a recent phenomenon that changed the game. Just ask Shohei Ohtani. Over Ohtani's first two MLB seasons, 2018 to 19, he hit .286. with a .352 batting average on balls in play, while seeing a shift 40% of the time. In the three seasons afterward, Ohtani hit .256 and .302. It wasn't because he stopped hitting the ball hard. His average exit velocity in the past 3 years, 92.7 miles per hour, was nearly identical to what it was his first two seasons, 92.8 miles per hour. So, what happened? Shift happened. Ohtani, in the past 3 years, hit against the shift 75% of the time, including 88% last year. What happened to Ohtani happened across baseball stunningly fast. From 2015 to 18, shifts against lefty hitters increased at the modest rate of about 4 percentage points per year, from 17% to 29%. Batting average on balls in play, BAPIP, by lefties in that time stayed in a narrow range between 295 and 299. Then the biggest one-year leap in shift use to 42% happened in 2019, as teams gained confidence in larger data samples and learned how to pitch into shifts, such as an increase of cutters into the hands of lefties. Each of the 3 years since then saw shifts used against lefties more than half the time. The result? Batting average on balls in play cratered to .283. Our next athlete, Corey Sager, Thriver. Photograph courtesy of Gary A. Vasquez, USA Today Sports, shows Corey Sager in his Texas uniform running a base. The damage done to Ohtani's career is most evident in hard-hit balls. Since he joined MLB, only Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton have hit the ball harder on average, minimum 2,000 plate appearances. But Ohtani's BAPIP, when hitting balls at 100 miles per hour or more, dropped from .586 in his rookie year to .462 last year. Ohtani was put out 64 times last year when he smoked a pitch 100 miles per hour or more when facing a shift. more than any other hitter except Corey Sager and Jordan Alvarez. Sager, who faced shifts 93% of the time for Texas last year and ranks in the 24th percentile of sprint speed, giving infielders backed up on the outfield grass ample time to throw him out, also figures to benefit mightily. This season, infielders will have to be positioned on the infield dirt with only two on each side of the second base. With Ohtani in the final year of his contract before free agency, he may prove himself more valuable than ever. Courtesy of Tom Verducci. And bigger bases. The Phillies gave Trey Turner the bag this offseason. Now they're hoping their star shortstop swipes a whole bunch more. Trey Turner, Thriver. The illustration shows Turner as he's sliding into base in his Phillies uniform. The Phillies likely would have signed Trey Turner to his 11-year, $300 million pact in any year. But it's nice that it starts in 2023, when the new rules will help their slick fielding, line drive hitting shortstop return to one of his favorite parts of the game. Raising hell on the base paths. Since his first full season, 2016, Turner leads MLB in steals with 228. But many of those came early in his career, when he was topping 40 a season. His pace has since slowed as he's focused on his hitting. But he should be back in business now. The primary factor will be the enlarged bases, which have grown to 18 square inches from 15. The shift ban should also help him reach base more often. Turner ran 90 feet in an average of 3.77 seconds last year, per StatCast. Fourth in MLB. He also had the fifth fastest sprint speed, 30.3 feet per second. His former manager, Dave Roberts, who knows a thing or two about stealing bases, ticks off Turner's attributes. His instincts, his speed off the ball, his ability to get from 0 to 60 in 2 steps. Turner also maintains his pace well, where many runners drop off after 40 to 45 feet. He keeps blasting. He could lead baseball in stolen bases every year, says Roberts. And Stephanie Epstein is responsible for that story. Pickoff limits. Pitchers will now be penalized for paying too much attention to base runners, but there's another way to prevent steals. A photograph of Yu Darvish in a San Diego's uniform, staring down the line from the pitcher's mound. The photograph courtesy of Sean M. Haffey, Getty Images. Yu Darvish, diver. One of the more thrilling moments of last year's postseason came in Game 2 of the NLDS. The score was tied, 3-3, with nobody out in the bottom of the fifth, and Dodgers star Mookie Betts, one of the most successful base stealers in league history, on first. It was clear he would try to swipe second and move into scoring position. The man tasked with stopping Betts from running was Padres righty Yu Darvish, the worst pitcher ever at preventing stolen bases. 88.55% safe rate. Minimum 1,000 career IP. He threw over to first 3 times before finally delivering the pitch. Betts took off, and a bullseye from catcher Austin Nola cut him down. Wilson Contreras. An illustration shows Wilson Contreras in a catching position, throwing the ball. Thriver. This improbable caught stealing won't be possible in 2023, thanks to the new MLB rule that allows pitchers to step off the rubber only twice during a plate appearance. The rule is intended to cut down on pickoff attempts and thus create more stolen base attempts. That's good news for runners, but not for Darvish and other pitchers who struggle to hold on runners. The main point of throwing over isn't to pick anyone off. Only twice in his MLB career has Darvish done that. The idea is to keep the runner at least somewhat tethered to the bag so he doesn't get too big a lead or too big a jump. A balk will now be called if a pitcher steps off more than twice in a plate appearance. There are two exceptions. One, when a runner advances on the third pickoff attempt or disengagement. And two, when a pitcher steps off for the third time and successfully picks off a runner. If a runner advances during a plate appearance, the pitcher gets two more disengagements. Few pitchers will risk stepping off a third time, giving the runner a big leg up after the second throw over. A potential downside? Too many easy steals. Stolen bases are exciting because they create bursts of action, but they'll become boring if they're sure things. There's one loophole for defenses to exploit. Catchers do not step off a rubber and therefore are exempt from the rule. They can throw behind runners as many times as they want. Keep an eye on Cardinals backstop, Wilson Contreras. Last season, he led all catchers with 48 back pick attempts, three more than the next two catchers combined. His willingness to throw behind runners should minimize their leads, even if he picks off only a few of them. Courtesy of Matt Martell. And that's all the time we have for this edition of The Sports Show. My name's Jane Woods. Thanks for joining me.